This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're going to just get a bit of an update what happened in court yesterday at the Pietermaritzburg High Court. Mpumelelo Zikalala is going to join me on the line. I did see some visuals that court proceedings might be on now, and we might be taking him away from that. Our apologies, Kuzeni. Mpumelelo, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning to you, and also good morning to the Power FM listeners.
Thank you, my brother. I know that you are probably feeling your voice needs throat lozenges. if I'm not seeing you on my screen, I'm holding you here on radio. But thank you so much for the work and service that you are giving to us. Perhaps just touch base. What happened yesterday after we had spoken? How did the proceedings go, and where did we end with the matter?
Definitely, we saw yesterday the arguments being made, and what I would call it an amended submission, an amended plea from the side of the former state president, in which he's now saying it's not Advocate Billy Dunn who was tainted, the whole NPA is tainted, and hence they want an order from the Honorable Court of saying that we cannot prosecute anymore because there's no one to prosecute, which is a bit ambitious and a bit impossible to obtain an order of that magnitude. So I don't think they're going to be able to succeed on that one.
Just to clarify on that, Mpumelelo, are they now putting this as their lead prayers, or these are alternative prayers?
I think they're going to put them as a lead prayer. Because if you say the whole NPA cannot institute, and then you amplify that by saying that then the only conclusion that you can come to as a judge is that the charges must be withdrawn and the matter must be struck off the roll. It basically means that.
But okay.
The chances of that succeeding, they are very slim. Because at the end of the day, the merits of the matter must be ventilated. Now, the Criminal Procedure Act takes into account all those matters, because you also have Section 174, which then says at the end of the state's case, if you feel that the state has failed to prove the relevant elements of that particular crime, you can bring in an application striking that matter off. So you can't do it at this early stage. Yes, that provision is available to you, but at most, let the evidence be led so that you're able to dispute it or admit it, depending on the nature of the evidence. And let the court hear the nature of the evidence so that it is able to rule on it. So there are many instances and safeness available in which you are able to deal with the matter, and you're able to sort of ventilate all the issues that you might have. So request for it at this early stage, I do not think that the court is going to agree with them on that stage.
It seems as if, Mpumelelo, in some instances, there were submissions that were being made by the lawyers of the former president, Jacob Zuma, and where Judge Kuhn felt they were being prejudiced to him by virtue of having not put these in their papers, and therefore saying it might just be unfair because he has not had the chance to prepare his opposing submission or to those submissions. What are some of those areas where the judge was seemingly pushing back on the lawyers of the former president?
Well, the principle on that one being you stand and fall by your founding affidavit. You had the whole opportunity to put in whatever that you wanted to come in. So you cannot at a late stage put in a matter in which the other party has not been given an opportunity to sort of oppose. This particular matter was the internal complaint processes that are available to Advocate Billy Dunn if he felt that the manner in which the matter was being held was not in line with the legal prescripts. Now, the opportunities or the alternatives in which were being said by the lawyers of the former president were not actually included in the founding affidavit. So Judge Kuhn then says, we cannot deal with this matter, and I can't consider it because it hasn't been ventilated in a proper manner. You can't raise it from the bar. It has to come in a manner in which the state would have an opportunity to rebut it, and they can't rebut it when you are here. The issues of evidence, the issues of affidavits, and also confirming whether other processes were indeed followed. But with that, I think he was trying to send a clear message of saying, this is how I'm viewing this matter. There is still an opportunity for you to ventilate these issues, not under Section 106, but during the trial. I cannot dismiss your matter based on the 106 application because it doesn't suffice with the elements that are here. yes, you may be proposing a new way of doing things by adopting a wider interpretation of Section 106, but it can't be adopted when there are alternative and tried and tested principles available, and that have assisted us as a judiciary in making sure that we do stick to the legal prescripts, but most importantly, protect the rights of the accused as per Section 35 of our Constitution.
Now, Zikalala, another issue here seems as if, you know, initially many thought this would just be a repeat of the spy tapes saga, but it seems as if there is new evidence being led at least at the level where the lawyers of the former president are alleging that there was collusion between Downer and some, you know, prosecutors with members of the media. Do you feel that these are weighty submissions by any chance?
I don't think they are in terms of legal points, but they may be in terms of how you want the public to be sympathetic towards you. With legal means, the way in which we deal with evidence, there are legal prescripts in which we follow that allow evidence to be led, either accepted or to be dismissed. And that's the approach in which you should be adopting. Now, when you want to lead evidence linked to that one, and it would be to sort of support your stance of saying my rights under Section 35 have been infringed, then you must do it within the trial and not at this stage, which is what the judge is sort of emphasizing and saying, I do realize that you fully understand why Section 106 is there, but you are using it incorrectly. Wait up until you get into the trial. Wait up until evidence is led. Wait up until you are given an opportunity to cross-examine the various witnesses and make sure that at the end of the day, you are able to obtain that particular evidence that would allow me to rule in your favor, sort of supporting that your rights, your client's rights as per Section 35 were indeed infringed.
Now, I suppose we are going to be hearing from the state responding. I saw Advocate Trengrove seemingly taking up his place to address the court this morning.
Yeah, definitely. They are now dealing with the part of viva voce evidence, where we are going to detract from using papers and actually put people in the witness box and start questioning them. There are two ways of looking at it. From a strategy point of view, you are then exposing the individuals which are going to prove that indeed the trial or the investigation part has been unfair.
Ooh, Pumelelo's line just went silent on us. Banyana, can we try and see if we can get him back on the line? People of power, there has been a lot said about, you know, the proceedings before the Pietermaritzburg High Court. Please do dial in 0861-987-000. Some people have been saying the former president being treated unfairly. What is your view? Are you convinced by some of the arguments that are being put before the court? Do you think that he has a case? Do you have a question that you want to put to my guest, Pumelelo Zikalala? Please do that before I let him go on 0861-987-000. Let's take a short break.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mbini. Call Lukhona on 0861-987-000.
Indeed, do that. 19 minutes past 11. Want to hear from you. Zikalala, you are still taking us through on the, you know, notion of viva voce evidence and, you know, what we can expect to see now, people being put on the stand. I wonder, is Billy Downer going to be asked to take the stand as well?
I think he would definitely be on the list, but I don't think the judge agreeing to it or the state actually agreeing to that particular part.
Do we even know the prospective list of witnesses that will be called at this stage for this particular segment of the trial?
No, we don't know it at this stage, but there are instances that the likes of Advocate Bosi be calling. The likes of Mr. Bulelani Ndlovu will also be called in to come into the fray. But the one thing that we must remember and limit ourselves to is this. How is this going to assist in terms of the Section 106 application? How is it administrative enough in order for it to be considered at this stage? Isn't it best for it to be considered once the trial has started and there is certain evidence that has been led? Now, if you can't convince the court in terms of that, then the chances of this application continuing or succeeding are very slim. Another part which I haven't seen, which may be an opportunity from the side of the state, is to say, let's apply for section to have access to Section C of the docket. Let's remember, when a docket is being compiled, it has Section A, B, and C, and Section C is the communication details between the prosecutor and the NPA and the investigating officer. That's where you're going to get the glimpses of biasness if they are there. The type of language which is being used, the type of information which has been requested. That's where you can draw inferences as to whether this particular prosecutor was doing his or her job based on the mandate that has been given by the law, or it has actually gone beyond that. They are now obsessed with making sure that this person is behind bars.
I hear you. Let me go to that line. Tabiso, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona. Just a quick one. I just need some clarity from your expert.
Yeah.
When I listened to Advocate Mpofu yesterday, he said they're actually not their issue is not this particular prosecutor or any other prosecutor. They are actually arguing that because of the bias by this particular prosecutor and the NPA, they actually want an acquittal right now without actually having to go to trial. Is that correct?
Mpumelelo.
He's definitely saying that.
That's crazy though. I can't possibly see our law making provision for that. I can understand when a trial has already started, and you can show that you've actually been negatively impacted by a particular person's bias, and then pushing for an acquittal. But the trial has not even started, and the merits even ventilated. So. You know what? Yeah, I guess these guys have been in the field for quite some time, and they know better.
Well, Tabiso, let's keep listening and see what is going to happen. I mean, Mpumelelo, we have seen cases being thrown out. I'm thinking of the Shrin Diwani matter, where we went through an entire extradition process. He was extradited to South Africa, but when he arrived here, the prosecution just fell apart, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, but you see, on those ones, basically, there must be a certain term or something that would allow that. Mm. And you use the Criminal Procedure Act in order to guide you as to how those proceedings are going to go.
Yes.
Now, in this case, there's simply no evidence which you have that would allow you to do that at this stage. And let's focus on that particular matter that you've mentioned.
Yeah.
It is after the state has led evidence using Section 174, in which you then come in and say, "I've given the opportunity to the state to let us hear the evidence, we've cross-examined it, and based on what they have said to us, they haven't satisfied the elements that are required in order for this crime to be proved. On that basis, my client is not going to go even into the witness box. It's the end. You failed to prove beyond reasonable doubt that there are certain elements that must even answer." But you can't dismiss my application at the instant.
Okay.
You can't dismiss all these things that you have to answer to when I haven't even heard what the state has got as evidence.
I hear you loud and clear. And then the judge comes in and makes a determination on those inconsistencies, as it were. Joe, good morning.
Morning, Lucas. Nikon, I was just want to ask you again. Now, I just want to know that what is going to happen when the judge can say Mr. Billy Downer is not to recuse himself. The case is going to continue, or maybe the court is going to adjourn, or what is going to happen now?
Okay. Joe Mpumelelo, I mean, I don't know about you. I think maybe the Supreme Court of Appeals in Bloemfontein would be receiving an application if that is the case.
Yes, definitely. I think from either parties, if it doesn't favor them, then they still have an opportunity of saying, let's go and appeal this particular process. But you may have an instance, though, because before an appeal is granted, you first do it in front of the judge that didn't rule in your favor.
Yes.
They may say, for the sake of time, and for the sake of ensuring that the trial must start and end within the shortest amount of time, you must do the appeal at the end stage. You don't know what's going to be the merit of this matter. It can still change during this particular time in which we are now hearing evidence. So I'm refusing appeal. Go and request it within the SCA or even the Concord, if so be. But there's definitely a stage in which either of the parties, if they are not satisfied with the outcome, they're going to say, let's go to another court. Maybe another court will come to a different conclusion.
Mpumelelo, before we finish our conversation, let me put something to you. There was an interesting, voice note I received during our open line between 9 and 10. Person asking, what could be Tale's strategy? Why don't they apply to be, you know, separated from the former president, because this thing is taking forever? And then I said to that voice note, well, yesterday myself and a colleague were discussing this and thought maybe if Tales knows that he should be, they might as well allow the former president to do what he's doing. But I mean, what do you think the strategy is there? Is there room open for Tales to separate itself from the former president?
No, not necessarily. Let's look at the nature of the crime. The first choice, what the state is saying, they're simply saying you were aided by someone to get favors and to be a preferential bidder or a preferential supplier of these particular items. Now, I need someone who's going to be the corruptor and the corruptee. If I separate the two, then it makes it difficult for me to prove beyond reasonable doubt that indeed you've contravened this type of section. So I need both of you to be here so that I can able to prove the transactions that took place between the two individuals. Let's remember, the second sort of prize in which the state is gunning for is that even if those particular transactions were true transactions, there's nothing untoward against them. You should have declared them in parliament. You should have declared them at SARS. You failed to do that. Let's punish you based on that one.
That's an interesting one. Do you think that this matter will be shut and closed today, or the days in session will have to extend?
No, I think today, because there are only two submissions, major ones that need to be done. I don't think they're going to go beyond today. It might be that we might not get a ruling today, but maybe in a few weeks to come, then a ruling would come in, and this would determine whether the first witness was going to go in and actually give evidence in this trial.
Mpumelelo, was the matter of medical records settled, or is Judge Kun still going to also issue a ruling on that, whether or not the defense lawyers should hand up the medical records and he puts them under lock and key?
I think it was settled yesterday, because they're not required anymore. There's no postponement which has been applied for. There's nothing that actually needs those medical records to be interrogated, unless if the judge would say, I want to hear the reasons of why you weren't in court in previous occasions, which is a matter that I still want to investigate. Were you really sick? Were you really in a position in which you could not attend? If that's the case, then I want those records to be within my possession. But as it stands, there's nothing which is required by the court to be examined by. It doesn't need the medical records, actually. Yeah.
And I suppose then they will only be relevant from those who want to review Arthur Fraser's decision.
Definitely. And that's precisely the reason why they were closely guarded yesterday. so that they don't hand the land in the hands of people that are going to review this particular decision. And that with the lapse of time, it takes a bit longer, because it then becomes a two-stage approach. You first apply for the medical records and then for the rationality of the decision. The longer it takes, the more you move closer to the 15 months term. And by the time you go to court, you go there based on a matter of principle, but you can't get the former president to go back to prison.
Absolutely. Kuzeni, thank you ever so much for your time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.